Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
Save big money at Menards. Menards has the best in-stock selection of AC2 pressure-treated lumber, decking, and fencing. All easy to load in our drive-through lumber yard. Plus, get free deck and fence estimates fast using our do-it-yourself design programs in-store or online at Menards.com. Save big money in all lumber at Menards, America's number one home improvement retailer for customer satisfaction, according to J.D. Power. For J.D. Power 2024 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards.
In Boston, the popular murder trial of Karen Reed ends in a hung jury, but the state vows to retry the case. In Louisiana, three drug dealers are charged with murder due to drug-related overdoses due to fentanyl. And a Florida man attempts a one-cent withdrawal from a bank. These stories and more are coming at you today, Wednesday, July 10th, on Real Life Real Crime Daily, and I'm Jim Chapman.
I'm Woody Everton.
It is hump day.
It is hump day, that's for sure, right?
Hump day. Crimes are always the best.
Day, Wednesday, and the just all love, right?
Yep.
All
love. I wonder if everybody's getting back into the swing of things now, but 4th of July is over. I know a lot of people took off for the whole week and were able to go to the beach and all those things. Me not being one of them, but yeah. But I know a lot of people were.
I have been there many times in the years past. Yeah. I'm glad I wasn't stuck in that traffic on the way back.
Oh, that's always the worst part of traveling to the coast during Memorial Day or July 4th or what you name it is the coming back. You know you're going to be stuck in it. 6 hours of traffic for a two-hour drive.
Especially if somebody has a wreck, then you're really screwed.
Yeah, get a hotel at that point.
Regular traffic. Yeah, exactly.
Yep. So
let's get hopefully some crime time for Wednesday, hump day.
Well, and we're going to start with another one that's really all over the social media channels, and that is the trial of Karen Reed. And I'm going to catch you up on this if you're not familiar. Right. That murder trial ended Monday after a starkly divided hung jury failed to reach a verdict. This forced Judge Beverly Cannon to declare it a mistrial. The decision came after 27 hours of deliberations in Massachusetts. Reed was accused of killing her boyfriend, who was a Boston police officer by the name of John O'Keefe, by hitting him with her car. This was on January 29th of 2022. Now, she denied any involvement and claimed he was killed at a house party with police and other law enforcement. Reed of Mansfield, Massachusetts, she's 44, was charged with second-degree murder, manslaughter while operating under the influence, and leaving the scene of a personal injury. If she had been convicted of the murder charge, she faced up to life in prison. Judge Beverly Cannon set July 22nd for the case to be back in court to determine the next steps. And in a statement, the DA's office said it planned to retry the case. Yeah. First, we want to thank the O'Keefe family for the commitment and dedication to the process. They maintain sight of the true core of this case, which is to find justice for the officer. Now, jurors sent a final note to Judge Cannon before she declared it a mistrial, and it said, "Despite our rigorous efforts, we continue to find ourselves at an impasse. Our perspective on the evidence is starkly divided. Some members of the jury firmly believe the evidence surpasses the burden of proof." The jury said in the note, "Conversely, others find evidence fails to meet this standard and does not sufficiently establish the necessary elements of the charges. This deep division is not due to a lack of effort or diligence, but rather a sincere adherence to our individual principles and moral convictions. To continue to deliberate would be futile and only serve to force us to compromise these deeply held beliefs." Canham responded by saying, I'm not going to do that to your folks. Your service is complete. I'm declaring a mistrial in the case. The mistrial came roughly after 5 days of deliberations. The jury of six women and six men received the case Tuesday, June 25th, following closing arguments. They heard from 74 witnesses, 68 for the prosecution, during 29 days of testimony over nearly 2 months. So this was a very long case. Yeah. They told Judge Cannon Friday they were deadlocked, but she sent them back to continue deliberating. They sent a second note to the judge Monday morning saying, we find ourselves deeply divided, and I went through all of that. So it looks like, you know, obviously this lady, with it being declared a mistrial, is free. But why retry the case? Seems kind of that's not a double jeopardy deal.
No, because it's a mistrial. If they've been found not guilty, it would be a double jeopardy. Did they say she was out on bail?
It didn't say either way. I don't know if she is or not.
If she wasn't out on bail, then her ass remains locked up to the new trial. But they have to turn around and refile another bill of indictment, go through the steps. Now, another reason for a retrial could be the prosecution could see where the defense weakened their case. They'll be able to go do more investigation and firm it up and get more to go in. They're going to hit it with the same shit. You've already given your best game. The defense has given their best game. Now, the state can go back and tighten that case
where they screwed up.
If it's a murder, and you believe it enough as a prosecutor to bring it forward as a murder, and why not retrial it? And it also might make them take a plea bargain.
True. And let me ask you this. And look, I'll say in everything I've read, there's a lot of people think that she didn't do this. Yeah. But I'll say this, 29-day trial, the amount of money that costs, it has got to be astronomical. And you're going to retry the whole thing.
Yeah, and it's going to cost even more money because they probably will retry it, and they probably will get a conviction at some point because there's enough evidently for some people to believe it.
Yeah,
but then you got the appeals process.
Yeah.
It'll cost millions and millions and millions. But you know what? That victim.
That's true. Somebody killed this guy. So stay tuned, but a very popular case right now, and a lot of people putting in their 2 cents on that verdict.
Well, speaking of 2 cents, Jim Chapman, let me tell you, this was just, gosh, just such an idiot. And in Lady Lake, Florida, a Florida man is facing a felony robbery charge after he tried to withdraw 1 cent. From a bank in Sumner County. So the incident happened just before 2 p.m. on Saturday at the Chase Bank on U.S. 441 in Lady Lake. This according to the arrest affidavit, y'all, from the Sumner County Sheriff's Office. A man identified as Michael Fleming walked into the bank and filled out a withdrawal slip for 1 cent and handed it to the bank teller. The bank teller told him, you can't withdraw a penny. I don't know. We have to ask Best Banker.
Lord Johnson let him withdraw a penny.
So when she says, you can't have a penny, right? And he said, so you want me to say the other word? But no other details about the alleged conversation were revealed in the affidavit. The deputy said the bank teller was in fear of possible violence, so she called 911. And when deputies arrived, Fleming was still inside the bank and was taken into custody. He was transported to the sheriff's office, where he agreed to speak with deputies after being read his Miranda rights. And the details of this conversation were redacted from the report, probably for prosecution reasons. But the deputy said they had probable cause to believe Fleming did violate Florida's robbery laws, and his ass is locked up in jail. You believe
that?
Right?
Seems like a little, yeah. That,
I mean, you're just asking for fucking trouble.
It does make me want to go withdraw 1 cent there and see if.
I don't know what the policy is, or maybe that's in the fine print somewhere, but evidently, maybe he didn't have an account or some shit.
There was definitely some weird, shady shit going on with that.
But I mean, you know, tell everybody what you're locked up for. Yeah. I'm not trying to take a penny out.
I'm a bank robber.
I'm a bank robber.
One penny. One penny. The 1 cent bandit.
The 1 cent bandit, yeah.
God, what that's
some
bad.
Bandits in the colleague Calkin, whatever. My God, I used to have to watch that movie over and over again with my daughter. It was only VHS, and I couldn't afford cable when I was a single dad.
Yeah.
Home Alone.
Yeah.
Every time they robbed a house, they fucking flooded it. They call them the bathroom bandits or some shit like that. Because this dad, dumbass, he was like, he's like, what are you doing? And he's like, I'm leaving a mark. And he would stuff the sinks or whatever and flood the
bathroom. Yeah. Joe Pesci. He was great in that one. All right, we're gonna bring you right here to Livingston Parish.
The LP.
The Livingston Parish Sheriff's Office has charged three individuals with murder in connection to a drug-related deaths in the parish. Sheriff Jason Ord stated that in each case, officials had to prove that someone distributed or provided drugs that resulted in a death. Some of the fatalities included fentanyl. We were trying to be proactive, and I believe we were proactive, Ord said. The parish is growing fast, and I've never hid that we have a drug addiction problem. Ord said the arrests are only the beginning. Travis Freeze, Logan Brown, and Bryant O'Keefe Young Jr. are the first in Livingston Parish to be charged with murder in connection to an overdose. Fentanyl is a problem nationwide, but it's also come here to root in Livingston Parish, that from Jim Brown, who is the chief investigator at the Livingston Coroner's Office.
I remember when Jim was, I remember when he was a detective.
Yep.
And then I remember when he was the warden.
Yep. And he ran for the sheriff of Walker, I think. Chief of Walker, I believe. Over 90% of all overdoses we had last year were fentanyl related. We had 86 overdose deaths last year. Most of those deaths are occurring by having mixed drugs. It's a cocktail. The problem with that is some of the drugs are fatal just taken by themselves. But when you compound them, we've had 122 overdose deaths just in 2022. And the death of Robert Sibley. Robert Sibley was found dead in December of 2023, Sheriff Ord said. Deputies reported he was found in the driveway and had died from a narcotics overdose. Ord stated that Freeze was arrested for another incident in February, and a search warrant led deputies to finding drugs and drug paraphernalia. Then they had the death of Angela Armon. Angela Armon, 50, was died at the hospital in April after a meth overdose. Sheriff Ord said that Logan Brown allegedly told a family member, I killed that girl, according to Ord. Brown admitted to administering meth to Armon and then dropping her off at the hospital before leaving because he didn't want to be connected to the crime. That's smart. Yep. Brown was arrested in connection with her death. And then they had death of Patrick Kimball. Patrick Kimball, 45, died in May after a fentanyl overdose. Kimball was living in a halfway house when video footage showed him meeting with someone to buy drugs. Brian O'Keefe Young Jr. was arrested and charged with second-degree murder. If you want to play dangerous games, you're going to suffer dangerous consequences. We have become very aggressive towards these narcotics on our street, Ord said. The Livingston Parish Coroner's Office reported there have been 43 overdoses in the parish so far this year, and Ard stated his office has confiscated $5 million worth of illegal drugs and 7 pounds of fentanyl, which Ard said is enough technically to jeopardize the entire Livingston Parish school system.
It's crazy. Jason and I go, the Sheriff Ard and I go way back, as most of his investigators, everything else. The only thing I have to say about that is I think it was 2001, 2002. There were three teenagers, and they were at a bonfire. It was a really, really, really cold night, and they were at a bonfire, and they got inside the truck with the heater running. I guess they were listening to music or whatever, and they took some, if I'm not mistaken, it was OxyContin. Fentanyl wasn't even on the scene yet.
Yeah.
Like, meth wasn't even a big deal. And the oxys, this is the same thing fentanyl does. It relaxes you so much where you forget to breathe.
Yeah.
And that's how you die.
Jesus.
You fall asleep and you forget to breathe. Now, every overdose that I worked on oxys and shit. I don't think I ever worked one on fentanyl, but the everyone ever worked like that, when if there was somebody else in the residence where the person died at, they said they were snoring their ass off. That's how you're snoring too, until you just quit breathing.
Yeah.
But back to those three kids, they didn't come home.
Right.
And the next morning, it was right across the railroad tracks, I think just in between Walker and Livingston. And they went to back to the bomb where the bonfire was, and they were all three dead in the truck. All three of them OD'd on it. Now, we did charge somebody with because it was such an outrage. When I say kids, I'm talking about 16, 17 years old. And I don't know if there was ever a conviction or anything. I don't remember what ever happened to it. I remember that being the first case of someone being charged for selling, maybe in the state of Louisiana, selling narcotics to that caused someone's death. Now, it's in the last 10, 15 years, they've been doing it everywhere.
Yeah.
And rightfully so. Yeah.
Well, and you know, when it's fentanyl related, they have changed some laws since Governor Landry has gotten into office, especially as it relates to fentanyl, and really making a hard push because that's such a deadly drug. And, you know, going after making these drug dealers, which they are, they're complicit in the death. Right, right. If I drive Woody to a bank and he robs a bank, I'm charged with bank robbery, too, even though I didn't go in there with the gun. They're just as complicit.
I believe.
And I think they should face the same consequences as a person.
Absolutely agree with you. And the thing about the fentanyl, which shocks me, and not much shocks me, the fentanyl shocks me because these motherfuckers know. Yeah. They know
that. And you're killing your customers.
Well, I don't think most of them intend, or 99% of them intend to kill, but they know what I was going to say is they know they're not chemists. And they're getting fentanyl in, and they can take it as in. It's like my little buddy used to come up to my bar, and all, everybody else was hunting, and he and I'd sit up and drink all night. He took a fucking Xanax, and it was laced with fentanyl, and it killed him. And he was a little young genius, graduated from college and everything else. Just a great guy. And this has been in the last year and a half. But they get the fentanyl, and no matter what you put it in, ecstasy or cocaine or Xanax or whatever, the person that's getting high doesn't know. All they know is they got fucked up, right? And so they're doing it to double, triple, quadruple their profits. And fuck them. It's like giving a kid a loaded gun and saying, pull the trigger. We'll see if it works. So on that topic, Jim, I'm going to read you something that came out on July the 7th by WGNO in New Orleans. And I got some good friends that are reporters there. But just check this out. Shreveport, Louisiana. U.S. opioid-related deaths dramatically increased between 2015 and 2020. But which states have more opioid-related deaths than all the others? Well, believe it or not, South Dakota developed the highest growth in opioid-related deaths, right? Because there's not many people there, right? When their state statistics rose by 355%. Crazy, right? Another rural state, Montana, was in second place. It had a 311% increase in opioid-related deaths. But guess what? Louisiana came in third on the list with a 293% increase in opioid-related deaths during a five-year period. Wow. Right? According to the Louisiana Department of Health, opioid abuse is a problem in Louisiana where almost all indicators, addiction to opioid medications, overdose deaths, emergency room admissions, and overprescribing are evidence of the problems. So the couple of states actually decreased. I mean, to find out what they're doing. That was Oklahoma, Utah, and New Hampshire. But there's the nationwide rise in the number of opioid-related deaths seen have been driven by corresponding rise in synthetic opioids such as fentanyl. The opioid crisis has caused record levels of addictions and deaths, and efforts to curb the crisis often highlight public health and policy issues. Indiana, Delaware, and New Jersey also saw more than a 200% increase in the number of people who died in that five-year period, right? It's crazy, and it just goes on and on. Louisiana, 293% increase. Just like, I mean, Sheriff Art and Amber Dillon.
Yeah.
That I'm almost 50 and it's July. Right. Yeah. That's going to end up be way more than one a week they're dealing with.
Yeah. And you know, one thing that I think Sheriff Art has done a great job of is, look, Livingston Parish right across that river, you got Baton Rouge, mm-hmm. and I wouldn't say we have a murder problem here. We've got a drug problem right. here in Livingston Parish, yeah. and have for quite a while, even since you've been policing.
Right.
But not a murder problem, and that's pretty hard when you're surrounded by two parishes that have a bad mm-hmm. murder problem, Hammond area mm-hmm. and Baton Rouge. So the fact that he's been able to limit it to that, but and it looks like he's taking some steps here to try to control it and do what they can.
I talked to the guys when we were out on the golf course for the tournament, and some of the ones that I trained and brought up are now on the special task force.
Yeah.
That Jason Sheriff Ard's created for that stuff. And they post in every week, like on WFB or whatever, the seizures and the bus and stuff. I mean, they're taking down big time people.
Yeah.
Know? And then,
and that's what you want to do, because the ones that are addicted to the drugs, well, you want to get to the source.
Yeah. And that's another problem for real. Think about it. All the people who don't die of overdoses that are so addicted.
Hey, Woody, did you know that you can't see a wrinkle?
I knew I didn't.
Well, what we're actually seeing is the shadow inside of the wrinkle. Only reason I know that is because I watched this video by this top Beverly Hills plastic surgeon named Dr. Lakey. This guy's helped countless celebrities achieve flawless complexions both on and off screen. He says the secret is to eliminate the shadow, and that there are only two ways you can do that. You either fill in the crease itself, or you reflect light away from the shadow. Fortunately, Dr. Lakey developed a way that anyone can do just that and achieve a flawless red carpet look right from home.
Dude, I almost died a few weeks back. And if you don't think that gave me some extra wrinkles, I'm in my 40s and I thought it was kind of cool to have a wrinkle too. Like it conveys wisdom or something. But now I get it. Who wants wrinkles, right?
Well, you almost died and I look like death. But this is how the ladies in Hollywood get rid of their wrinkles. So Dr. Lakey has made a free video presentation explaining step-by-step how anyone can visibly fill in their deep wrinkles and fine lines in less than 30 seconds. I watched it. It's short. It's helpful. And the tips can help anyone fill in those stubborn wrinkles. Just go to erasedlines.com/RLRC and watch Dr. Lakey's video right now. Again, that's erasedlines.com/RLRC. Do it right now.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
Yeah. And all their lives are destroyed, and their family members' lives are destroyed, and everything else.
Yes.
And back to the murder rate, I always said like 90% of all murders can be tied back to dope.
Yeah.
And I mean, more the people were high when they killed somebody else, or they kill them while they're robbing them, or, you know, whatever.
Or they're robbing them to buy drugs.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? Let's talk about Parish Forensics and Roy and Two Christens and Bruce Ard underneath the
giant
American flag.
American flag.
They have Louisiana Pet Crematory, which you can use, and they take care of you. Your fur babies when they pass, and then they have Louisiana Funeral Services. They take care of your family members when they pass, and of course,
and some great tribute gifts that they have there, especially if you're former military or whatever. They've got some great flag holders,
and we got to go and see all that. But also the one of the most important things is the only place in the state of Louisiana. Now, this is three separate business, y'all, but it's the only place in the state of Louisiana where you can get your own independent autopsy done. Well, one of the things, now Roy is a genius, and so are the two Christens. But one of the things Roy is, oh, golly, I don't know if I should even talk about this. I think it's okay. The because they were advertising it at the at the Coroners and the Death Investigator Conference I spoke at. So we used to be when we go on the scene on an opioid or an overdose, and you think it's an overdose or whatever, they could take this big ass needle and jam it into your piss sack through your skin and put it on a board, and it would tell you if you had any type of narcotics in your system. But it would tell you if they were there, but it wouldn't tell you how much. Roy's developed a thing where you can they can do it, and within I don't know if it, I think it was within minutes.
Yeah,
that they get not only qualitative but quantitative amounts. Like, okay, yeah, he had fentanyl in his system, and yeah, this is way enough to kill him.
Yeah,
so, and nobody else would be alive on it. So that's another great thing they're doing.
100%.
They're such an innovator in all the different ways, whether it's taking care of your loved ones when you die, or including your fur babies, but also on the autopsies. And that they have all their different autopsy rooms. They have all the different law enforcement agencies that come in and use them, right? Yeah. And you got to see part of one. He was shot like 16 times.
Yeah, that was a heck of a one to
But anyway, see. Y'all, if you need any of those services, I hate that for you, but if you need any of them, call
Parish Forensics. Reach out to them.
Louisiana Pet Crematory. Roy and the Two Christians.
And we do link all of their, you know, all the ways that you can contact them in the description of this podcast. So just scroll down, click the link, and I'm bringing it with you. Yeah,
and they're legit people. I'm talking about like great freaking people.
100%. All right, let's get back to it. And we're going to go to Indiana. And a former NFL player and his wife were taken into custody after their son, who was missing and believed to be endangered, was found safe 2 weeks after he disappeared. According to the Indiana State Police, 14-year-old Bryson Muir was seen last seen June 16th, leaving a family member's house in Ohio with his mother. The car, which was reportedly owned by the Servant Leaders Foundation, which is out of Kokomo, Indiana, was reportedly pulled over in Garfield Heights, Ohio, but the team was not in the vehicle. 2 days later, the Department of Child Services reached out to the Indiana State Police for assistance in looking into domestic battery allegations at the teen's house in Indiana. The house and its property is also owned by the Servant Leaders Foundation, which is a fringe religious group that could have cult ties. Indiana State Police shared a photo of Muir with a black eye that was nearly swollen shut. Bryson's grandmother, Cheryl Wright, said that the boy's face was battered and swollen, and the state issued a silver alert for Muir, saying he is believed to be in extreme danger and may require medical assistance. Indiana State Police went to Daniel Muir and Kristen Muir's residence and said they were beginning to show signs of cooperating in regard to discussing their son's disappearance. However, that changed when the couple told Indiana State Police that they would bring Bryson Muir to meet with investigators, but then backed out of that arrangement, which signaled obviously an unwillingness to cooperate. On Wednesday, July 3rd at 6 a.m., Indiana State Police SWAT team members executed search warrants at the Muir's home and arrested Daniel and Crystal Muir for obstruction. Daniel Muir is also facing a domestic battery charge. Bryson Muir was found safe and well, and he is in custody at the Department of Child Services. Bryson Muir's grandmother, Miss Wright, said she believed the team was brainwashed by his parents. Now, Daniel Muir played in the NFL as a defensive tackle from 2007 to 2013, with most of his career spent with the Colts. And guaranteed, if he's a defensive tackle, he's a big boy.
Right.
And you're beating on your kid and giving him a black eye that's almost swollen shut. So it looks like this kid is found safe and is going to heal from any injuries he has. But this former NFL player making news in Indiana.
There you go. And I wonder if he played with Peyton or.
Yeah, he would have from 2007 to 2013. So that was Peyton time. That was
Peyton time.
Right? Yeah.
And then what a douchebag.
100%.
I hate to say that, but truly is. All right. You know, back to my cop days, especially uniform patrol, even detectives with the sheriff's office, you know, response time is always an issue, right? You don't want the sheriff or, you know, I really didn't ask about it at the state police, but you don't want somebody calling you up after the fact and saying, why did it take you 15 minutes to get there? You know, shit like that. I mean, that's a real deal because people are pissed off and they're a victim of crime and da-da-da-da, right? I mean, you want some protect and serve and do all this shit. Well, let me tell you a little bit of a fucking crazy story, Jim Chapman. All right. So let's go to Cali. Dozens of people ransacked a gas station mini mart near San Francisco Bay Oakland International Airport in Oakland, California, early Friday morning, leaving the store destroyed. Okay, sometimes that happens, right?
Sure.
But shocking surveillance video shows the suspects in a flash mob tearing apart the store as they rifled through refrigerated sections and shelves, smashed items, and filled shopping baskets full of loot. Sam Mardia, the owner of the 76 gas station and mini market on whatever road, told Fox 2 that the thieves caused an estimated $100,000 in damage at the store. They threatened two employees working at the time. Well, pretty bad story, right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, well, it gets a little worse. And he says, this is the hardest thing you could ever go through, especially if you've been putting sweat and tears day in and day out. He also told the news station it took 9 hours for police to respond after the crime.
Oh, my God.
After the crime was first classified as priority two, meaning
hard to explain.
Meaning there were no suspect at the scene, but it took them 9 fucking hours.
That's crazy.
Get the fuck out of here. But Oakland police came back and told Fox 2 that officers responded within 90 minutes.
Well, that's better.
Of the 4 a.m. burger. What the fuck are they doing at 4 a.m.? After the viewing of the surveillance video, they said, the owner says, they got away with it. They were here for 40 minutes. You could tear a whole city down in 40 minutes. Every time I think about it, the more it hurts. He estimated there were about 70 suspects. I mean, get the fuck out of here. Who broke in the store while the mini mart was doing window only business. So they have one of those things, right? You know, the sliding doors, like, can I get a pocket Marlboro Reds? Hold on that.
Bulletproof glass.
They ripped the doors down in the store for 40 fucking minutes. Whether it took 90 minutes or 9 hours, that's too crazy. Fucking long.
Man. Yeah, that's too long.
And I mean, that dude, I wouldn't pay my fucking taxes to Oakland if I was him.
Yeah. I mean, and look, that response time, not only with police officers, but also with like ambulance drivers.
Fuck yeah.
I know with Acadian Ambulance, who services Livingston Parish, every year they renew that contract because it's a private company. Yep. And response time is what they look at. Three minutes or less. You want to keep that.
Talking on that, I got to give a shout out to the ladies with Acadian, and you know who you are. I did an episode, and it was the truth, way back when on Real Life Real Crime Original, where I responded to a medical down in between Marpaul and Killian. And I got there, and the elder gentleman had a heart attack, and then basically I started CPR on him.
Yeah.
Well, come to find out, the only other guy that was 10-8 on duty with me in the parish, Michael Barden, it was his father-in-law.
Yeah.
And he shows up like 20 minutes later, Michael Barden does. Now, we call for Acadian, but once you start doing the CPR, you can't stop by law.
Yeah.
And it did take him like 20 minutes or so to get there. But, I mean, fuck, it's way down there, and it's the curviest roads and 20 miles an hour. And you know, so I'd said that about them because it took them so long to get there. The guy, I kept giving them the CPR, we didn't have the mask back then until he threw up back in me. He was already deceased. His wife wanted me to stop, and I couldn't stop. And finally they got there and he took over. Well, in recent years, I've had a lot of dealings with Acadian on the family side.
Yeah.
And recently, most recently, family member airlifted out in the middle of the night by helicopter from the field. And I was there. And one of the girls, one of the ladies, they're all super cool. Most time I'm dealing with the same ones. When they showed up and, you know, we were doing whatever and the helicopter landed and it took off and the landing unit was different ones, right? And she said, and by the way, it didn't take us 30 minutes or whatever I said on the podcast. They were all lifers. But shout out to them. Yeah. Shout out to those paramedics out there getting it done every day. 100%. And shout out to the good cops get it done because, boy, somebody got some fucking explaining to do. 90 minutes. Mini Mart. I mean, how many mini marts? That's like going to a Dollar General store trying to find a grocery cart. These motherfuckers have grocery carts.
Yeah. Anyway. All right. Well, we're going to take you to the world of social media.
Oh, that's
it. And I'm going to give you a story, and it's debatable. It's debatable if this is technically a crime, but it is such a large story right now that there's no way we can avoid it because we bring you the best here, right? So, Woody, I'm sure you've heard about the Hawk Tui girl.
Yeah, I haven't.
Spit on that thing! Yes,
I actually did a little touch on that one. Would have been released today anyway on it, but I hadn't heard of it, but I was hard.
Well, she has obviously become a internet sensation, and look, it goes to show you that you get a viral video going and you can be a trillionaire, right? Just depends on how far it goes. This thing's been viewed just 100 million plus times, but now people are asking her when she's going to start her OnlyFans, right?
Right.
So Haley Welch, who's known as the internet as the viral Hawk Tui girl, is giving her followers an update on her life in a podcast that she did. She has been rubbing shoulders with Shaquille O'Neal and Zach Bryan, among others. But she was asked about if she's going to have an OnlyFans account. And she said, stop asking me for the link in my bio for OnlyFans. I don't have an OnlyFans and there will never be an OnlyFans. I just make funny jokes. That's what I do. As for the things that have been awesome, she did mention she did get to actually perform with Zach Bryan a little bit and helped him sing a song. And she's done some really good things. But it doesn't look like she will do an OnlyFans. So all of you guys quit, or maybe even gals quit asking her.
She's doing the funny stuff.
She's beautiful. But it looks like she can only take it so far with the spin on that thing.
A lot of people do the OnlyFans thing, evidently.
Yeah. I don't begrudge people from, what they do. You make $1 million doing OnlyFans, I'll say have at it.
Yeah.
I'll make it happen.
Do it.
That's it.
Get it if you can get it.
That's it. I'll manage you and get 30%.
I'm thinking about it. Yeah, right. Thinking about doing
37.
OnlyFans.
Yeah. So
anyway. Let's go to Newport Beach, California. Now
Newport Beach.
Back to California again. And three men.
Have you been to Newport Beach?
I'm pretty sure I've been through it. I've been all over the state of California, and I'm about to go back again because my daughter is going to be having that grandbaby.
Yeah, I knew that was coming up.
3 weeks.
Wow, that's soon. I didn't know it was that soon.
San Diego for that, and got to talk to Ryan Loader, the Ultimate Fighter I was telling you about.
Yeah.
He was actually in San Diego when I talked to him. But I don't know.
What about San Francisco? You been there?
Yes, and I don't. Just be nice.
Well, Lori Johnson went recently to Pebble Beach, and they loved it.
Yeah. Well, that's a whole different fucking ball game.
Yeah.
The San Francisco years ago was much better, much cooler. It's like Chicago for me now. I went back in the last couple of years. Man, it's a fucking shit show.
Really?
And it got nothing to do with people's sexual orientation or anything else. I'm talking about fucking crime and the people in the streets and everything. It's just I just hold my ass up in the woods in Norwood and I'll be okay. Right?
There you go.
But in Newport Beach, three men are accused of carrying out a brazen armed robbery at the Fashion Island Mall in Newport Beach. Then, fatally running over a woman.
Mm.
They got charged with murder. Learness Joseph McCrary, 26, of Compton. Jaden Cunningham, 18, of Lancaster. And Malachi Edward Darnell, 18, of Los Angeles. All face possible death sentence if convicted as charged, according to Orange County District Attorney. That's the only thing I kind of respect about California. They still be dishing out the ultimate punishment.
Yeah.
But according to the Orange County DA's office, on July 2nd, the victim, 68-year-old Patricia McKay, and her husband were waiting for a ride near the Barnes & Noble store around 3:30 p.m. when a white Toyota Camry pulled up next to the couple. Two masked men jumped out of the car and attacked McKay's 69-year-old husband. Officials say they put a gun to his head and demanded his watch as they forced him to the ground. When the suspects were unable to get his property, Cunningham allegedly attacked McKay, who was holding several shopping bags, talking about the female.
Yeah.
With McKay lying in front of the Camry, her husband jumped in front of the vehicle to try to stop it because she's down on the ground, right?
Sure.
However, it accelerated forward and struck McKay and it drug her body 65 feet.
Oh, my God.
And guess what? So, McKay was a tourist visiting from New Zealand and died at the scene. And according to the DA's office, while the vehicle was moving, Cunningham, who was trying to catch up with the getaway car, was pursued by a Good Samaritan who attempted to stop him from getting back in the vehicle. It's one of the shitheads, y'all.
Yeah.
Darnell is accused of shooting at the Good Samaritan from the vehicle. Luckily no one was injured in the shooting. Cunningham was arrested after jumping out of the vehicle in Cypress, and McCray and Darnell were arrested in the South Gate after a police pursuit. All three are currently being held without bail. Our shopping centers, and this goes back to that mini mart or whatever, our shopping centers and malls have become hunting grounds for criminals who are stalking innocent shoppers to rob them blind because, I'm going to let you go in and all this. It gets all political, y'all, and McCray, whatever his name is, has a lengthy criminal history, and he shouldn't even been free in society, this according to the Newport Beach mayor. In addition to the murder charge, McCray has been charged with one felony count of attempted second-degree robbery, one felony count of evading while driving recklessly. He has a prior felony conviction for residential burglary, criminal threats, and robbery, all in Los Angeles County. Now, Darnell was charged with one felony count, second-degree attempted robbery, one felony count of attempted murder, and one felony enhancement of personal use of firearm, one felony enhancement of personal discharge of firearm. And Cunningham was also charged with one felony count of attempted second-degree robbery. All three are being held on medical holds and were not transported to court. They're scheduled arraignment Friday. Well, probably, I'm not laughing, but that means they are being treated, I would imagine, in the hospital for some justice. But that's crazy, man. I mean, just fucking no respect for life.
Wow. We
go to rob a dude for his watch.
Yeah.
And
while he's on vacation.
And then drag
a woman from another, New Zealand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
65 yards.
Wow.
I don't know, bro.
That brings us to the end of our news show today.
Yeah. Well, it was another good one.
Any final thoughts?
Just love and appreciate each and every one of y'all. Thank you for liking and listening and sharing, and just blessed to be able to do this.
That's right. And until next time, I'm Jim Chapman.
And I'm Woody Overton.
Your host of Real Life, Real Crime Daily. Peace.
Life can always use more Cedar Point. And right now, you can get more Cedar Point for less with the Fun Day Bundle for just $74.99. Each bundle gets you admission, parking, and all-day dining for one low price. That means more coasters like Steel Vengeance and more nostalgic fun in the boardwalk area. But you better hurry because this bundle won't last. Save now at CedarPoint.com.